All right, welcome back, folks. Trump is going to go live soon. We'll go to him when he does that. He says, it's Liberation Day in D.C. We're taking our capital back. And he spelled capital wrong, so that's awesome. He did, right? Capital is supposed to be with an O. With an A, it's like money, right? All right. Washington, D.C. will be liberated today. Crime, savagery, filth, and scum will disappear. I will make our capital great again. The days of ruthless killing or hurting innocent people are over. I quickly fixed the border. Zero illegals in the last 3 months. D.C. is next. Thank you for your attention in this matter, President DJT. Is he pulling a Bukele? Is he going full El Salvador? Will he prove, just like he proved the border was completely and totally 100% the choice of our leadership to allow to become a, you know, emergency level crisis situation on purpose? And is he going to do the same thing for crime? He proved that simply a matter of will. If you wanted the border to be closed, it was closed and immigrants wouldn't come in. And if you want crime to stop, you arrest the criminals and crime stops. It really is that simple. And I hope Trump does something in that regard here. We're going to talk about crime this segment because it's out of control in a lot of places in America. We're going to try to figure out why. We're going to try to figure out why that is and what is preventing us from stopping the crime. Whatever could it be? Whatever could it be? Spoiler alert. Some unfortunate racial correlations that make actually dealing with this problem damn near impossible when everybody in charge is a, well, supporter of ESG and, you know, equality in statistics and or a DEI hire themselves and incapable of lowering the crime rate even if they wanted to. But again, we'll get back into crime here in just a second. It's a very big story. In other Trump news, he is doing some pretty great things, including this. Trump targets bank bias in new executive order. President Trump signed Thursday an executive order taking aim at alleged discrimination against conservatives by large banks, directing regulators to investigate and punish financial institutions for, quote, politicized or unlawful debanking. Conservatives have long complained that they have been unfairly treated by the banking system, a cause taken up by Trump in his second term. Quote, financial institutions have engaged in unacceptable practices to restrict law-abiding individuals and business activities to financial services on the basis of political or religious beliefs or lawful business activities, Thursday's order read. Such practices are incompatible with a free society and the principle that the provisions of banking services should be based on material, measurable, and justifiable risks. It continues, the order directs banking regulators to investigate and punish financial institutions for debanking as violations under consumer protection laws in the Equal Credit Opportunity Act. I mean, this should have been done a long time ago. The whole idea of a law is that once it's in place, it just operates almost like the rules of a board game. It's not up to you. It's not up to, like, even the opinion of the person who's supposed to enforce it. It just is supposed to always happen like that. So if we actually followed the law, none of this debanking would be allowed anyway. The problem is the debanking is done in service of the wider societal project of manufacturing consent for total censorship and absolute control by the banks themselves. So we've covered it over and over again. All of the censorship started with the banks and is continuing to be perpetuated by the banks. Yes, the government gets involved. Yes, the, you know, big tech is a happy to be complicit actor in this scam. But it all started with the banks. Some of the first deplatforming ever on Patreon happened because MasterCard made them debank people based on their political views, which should be illegal. Especially when you have the banking company who, again, should just be there to, as simply as the, like, the physical cash register, like, you're just the tool by which we transfer money. Why should you have a say in where that money's transferred to or where it goes? Unless you're saying this is illegal and I don't want to be complicit in it. That's not what you're saying. So you're now inserting yourself as a middleman, which should be a purely neutral functionary. And you've decided that to use that position to achieve your own ends, i.e. silence dissidents who are against your total takeover.
our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue exclusively at thealexshowstore.com has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexshowstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexshowstore.com, become a subscriber, and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexJonesStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Breaking through the censorship barrier, one truth at a time. You're listening to The American Journal.
Welcome back, folks. We're going to talk about crime here, and we're going to talk about... I got Israel to talk about. And a whole heck of a lot more. And that's all before we welcome our guest in studio in the third hour, Patrick Byrne, to break some just absolutely bombshell news. And, you know, trust me, you're going to want to see this one. Sometimes we have interviews that are just about, you know, the people, and those can be great. I loved, you know, catching up with Gary Franchi last week, and we covered some, you know, topical news stories, but it was more. This story Patrick Byrne is bringing in, this is a breaking story. We're going to be breaking news, and it's absolutely bombshell, and it has to do with the $50 million bounty on Maduro's head that the Trump administration just placed there, and the other implications that Venezuela is involved in, other activities Venezuela is involved in. Again, you're going to want to stay tuned for that. And we have Donald Trump apparently going live soon. But in line with everything that we've been talking about, Beto O'Rourke, you know, saying no rules, gloves off, et cetera, this from New York Magazine. The next Democratic presidency means payback. They say, as you may recall from the distant days of 2020, the all but announced theme of Joe Biden's presidency at the start of its start was a return to normalcy after the chaos and extremism of Donald Trump's first term, which was punctuated by the attempted insurrection of January 6th. Yes, and so we returned to normal of hunting down peaceful protesters for being attacked by police. Well, the new Democratic administration and its congressional allies proceeded to put a lot of ambitious plans into place. There was definitely an atmosphere of restoration of a status quo ante being brought back. This will not be the case if Democrats regain the White House in 2028. Again, this is completely ahistorical. This is a totally revisionist article. The Biden administration may have claimed that they were, you know, heading and piloting a return to normal, but they also passed a climate change law that they call the infrastructure bill. So you can't exactly give any credit to the words they use to describe their actions. Their actions tell a completely different story. Their actions tell a story of a United States completely dislocated from its historical normal and instead thrust into a tyrannical, brutal, outrageous, completely illegitimate form of government by mafia. They cheated to get into office. They rigged the election through mail-in ballots, going completely outside of the bounds of the Constitution to impose rule changes that made it literally impossible to ever adequately or accurately audit the results of that election. They threw thousands of people into prison for years on end under terrorism charges, despite the people never committing violence, never even communicating with anybody who did commit violence, and the vast majority of the violence being committed against Trump supporters by Capitol Police on January 6th. Doesn't matter. They went after people like Stuart Rhodes, Enrique Tarrio, Joe Biggs, some of whom were never even in the Capitol and hardly ever even on Capitol grounds on January 6th, to prison for 20 years for terrorism charges. So that's not normal in America. That might have been normal in the Soviet Union. That might be normal in communist China. That's not a return to normalcy. That is a shocking and horrifying break from the normal conduct of our government, trying to throw the former president in prison over trumped up charges that were invalid for like 50 different reasons. It was against the president. It was clearly political. They were misdemeanors. They upgraded to felonies. The, you know, charge expired, but they extended the deadline arbitrarily and without cause. They withheld items from the jury that would have changed the entire, you know, outcome of the trial. I mean, just none of this is normal. None of this is or was normal ever. Okay. So what they're telling you is that they're going to go farther than that. All right. What they're telling you is they're rewriting history to say Trump is the extremist. The Republicans are the ones that are doing things that aren't normal, which I don't want to belabor the point, but it's like, it's not normal to invite 100 million foreigners into your country to be given everything for them, you know, given everything they possibly ever could need to survive and thrive. It's not normal for the government of one country to provide billions of dollars of subsistence to foreigners who broke the law to get into that country. That's not normal. What's normal is patrolling your border. Okay, that's normal, actually. So they want to flip everything on its head and tell you it's crazy and extreme to have basic border security. The reality is that's very normal. And all we want is things to be normal. It's not normal to have a, you know, political leader in this country saying F the rules, do whatever you can. Dog eat dog. It's a dog eat dog world out there. Just, you know, there are no refs. By all means necessary, we will regain power in order to enact retribution and engage in a vindictive campaign of oppression against our, you know, political opponents. That's, again, a shocking break from what is and what should be normal in this country. They're blind to that. They're absolutely blind to that. They say Trump 2.0 has broken something fundamental in the two-party system, not just because of his policy extremism or the president's overly vicious and vindictive personality. Again, so it's like these, I don't know, we just, I shouldn't even give, I don't want to actually even give credence to this article by even reading it, because it's exhausting. I'd have to go through every single word of every single line to describe how fundamentally dishonest it is. But I think we all need to really comprehend and express to our elected officials that this is a do or die moment for history, for America. If they get back in power again, the Democrats are not shy about what their intentions are. They are bringing a gun to a knife fight. We need to nuke them from orbit. They're telling you. They are the ones telling you. They're, if they ever get back into power, the next Democrat presidency means payback. They have opened the floodgates. They have set the precedent. It's not up to us. It's not about what you want the world to be. It's about what the world is and how you interact with it. If we ever want to get back to a world where we have politicians who don't act like, you know, petulant psychopaths, then we need to crush these people with everything we've got. Okay. Okay. Just so we understand where we are at this point. Let's get into crime now. Well, before we do that, we'll do one more thing. This is in line with all of it. J.D. Vance says we're going to see a lot of people being invited for the grand conspiracy that Cash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard presented. Let's go to clip number 16. Here's J.D. Vance. More words. Again, good words, nice words, lovely, lovely words, just words. Here's J.D. Vance, again, dangling the carrot, saying, just trust us. It's right around the corner. Trust the plan. It's not enough. It's not enough, and we need more, but at least they're signaling in the right direction. Let's go to clip number 16 now.
Do you want to see indictments?
I absolutely want to see indictments, Maria. Look, of course, you've got to have the law follow the facts here. You don't just indict people to indict people. You indict people because they broke the law. But if you look at what Tulsi and Cash Patel have revealed in the last couple of weeks, I don't know how anybody can look at that and say that there wasn't aggressive violations of the law. What they basically did is they defrauded the American people in order to take Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign talking points and turn them into intelligence by defrauding the American people, defrauding the intelligence agencies, lying about what the intel said, they would take something that supported a Hillary Clinton campaign talking point and they would overemphasize it and exaggerate it. They took anything that actually contradicted that narrative and they buried it deep. And through that, they actually laundered Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign talking points through the American intelligence services. That's a violation of the people's trust. That's a violation of what our intelligence services should be doing. And I absolutely think they broke the law. And you're going to see a lot of people get indicted for that. Here's the thing that should really bother the American people. What do you want our intelligence community to be doing? I want them to be catching bad guys. I want them to be making sure that terrorists aren't going to kill innocent American civilians. I don't want them laundering Hillary Clinton's campaign talking points into the American media and giving them this air of legitimacy. It is sick and it's disgusting. It hurt the intelligence community. It hurt the American people and it hurt the first Trump administration. We've got to have consequences for it or we're just going to see the same play repeated again and again.
All right, so there's J.D. Vance promising indictments coming. A lot of indictments coming over 2016 Russia hoax. That's the headline at Infowars.com. Again, it's like none of this is complicated. It's all sort of the same thing over and over, whether we're talking about crime on the street that we're just about to get into or criminality at the highest levels of our government. Fact is, people will do what they can get away with. And that sucks, and I wish it wasn't the case. I wish people had the upstanding moral character required to actually operate a constitutional republic and be worthy of liberty. But unfortunately, not everybody is. Not everybody is. So they're going to do what they can get away with. And they're going to look to what other people are getting away with to inform their own actions. So if you want to stop carjackings and muggings in D.C., you arrest the criminals and punish them for their crimes. And you do the same thing when it comes to politicians, even though their crimes are so much more massive, so much more damaging, so much more destructive. I mean, we can only speculate on the spiraling out downstream domino effects of what the Russia collusion hoax, you know, did to our country, even just up to and including the, you know, random terror attacks that happened against Republicans because of the outrage fostered by these outrageous and knowingly false claims, but also including things like the Ukraine war, which was obviously the ultimate outcome, the desired end point of the scheme that really got going and was exposed to the world first through the Russia collusion hoax. Trump considers deploying up to 1,000 National Guard troops to Washington, D.C. He should be giving a statement about this sometime very soon. We'll go to that live whenever it comes. President Donald Trump considers deploying up to 1,000 National Guard troops to D.C., according to several reports earlier this week. 19-year-old former Department of Government Efficiency staffer was beaten by 10 juveniles, prompting threats to strip D.C. of home rule. On Friday, 120 FBI agents from across the country have already begun patrolling D.C. streets overnight, and the U.S. Park Police arrested more than half a dozen perps on stolen firearms and drug charges. Pending presidential approval, the plan could be enacted immediately, and an announcement might come as soon as Monday, according to defense and U.S. officials. And again, that should be coming later today. The story from the AP about the announcement today is this. Trump tackles homelessness and crime in Washington. Trump is promising to, new steps to tackle homelessness and crime in Washington, prompting the city's mayor to voice concerns about the potential use of National Guard to patrol the streets in the nation's capital. But once again, we're in this situation where you have failed. You have failed on purpose. In fact, failure is not even the right word because it's deliberate. So you have deliberately made your streets safe, less safe. You have deliberately allowed criminals to run rampant. And now that has to be corrected. People don't have to just be victims because you think it, you know, aligns with your particular political ideology, psychopathic though it is. People don't have to just accept that there might be beaten half to death going out on some weeknight. They don't have to accept that. They don't have to put up with it. And they shouldn't, and they're not. So there's that. So it's just, so you can't complain. If, and again, I don't want to, they're babies. But these people are babies. All right. So, like, literally everything I read about Democrats, it just makes me think of my toddlers. It's infuriating.
They're not nearly as cute as my toddlers, but they are so much worse in so many ways. Every night we go through it. My daughter, she wants to walk. I want to walk to bed. Then you got to walk to bed. If you don't walk to bed, I'm going to pick you up. And then you're going to cry. And then you're going to cry. And we're all going to melt down. And it's not good. It's not good. So if you want to do the thing, then you have to actually do it. Okay? If you want to be the one in charge of crime in D.C., you have to stop crime in D.C. And when you are either incapable or unwilling to do that, then other powers will step in to do it for you because you do not have the right to subject the entire city to criminal behavior because you think it helps black people or whatever the dumb excuse is that they come up with. Now, that's what's happening, right? They think because they're the ones in charge, they can allow crime to run rampant and there's just nothing you can do about it. You just have to sit there and take it. And we have lots of options of what to do in this situation other than just be mugged continually, be murdered in the street by some random thug that was arrested the day before for the same crime, right? It's like, we don't have to put up with that. And why would we? So yes, you have a responsibility to keep the streets of DC safe. You have failed, so now the federal government has to step in and do it. I don't want that. I don't like the federal government setting this precedent. I don't like the idea of the U.S. military patrolling the streets. I will make a caveat for D.C. because that is the purpose of D.C. It is a federal district that should never even have a mayor. It's supposed to be under the control of Congress. It's supposed to be the federal government. You would think they can handle governing the country. They could handle governing a city as well. And they could. It wouldn't be hard because here's the little, you know, secret about all of this. Is that you have to try to make crime this bad. You have to try. There are thousands of people in DC whose entire lives, entire jobs, are just trying to stop crime. And if you just didn't interfere with that, they would just stop crime. If you just, I mean, the police, you know, if you just went, hey, it's your job to stop crime, figure it out. They'd institute patrols, they would study the city, see where the hotspots are, dedicate more resources to that. You'd have city attorneys that were there to indict the people and charge them. You'd have judges to preside over the jury selection. You'd have convictions. You'd send them to jail. And then the crime would be gone. It would just work. This human machine of justice is already established and functional until the Democrats get in and deliberately throw a wrench in the works and then cry because you're coming in to fix it. Trump moves to evict homeless from D.C., threatens federal control to curb crime. President Donald Trump announced a press conference on Monday at the White House to address violent crime in Washington, D.C. The announcement follows rising concerns of violent crime and recent assaults, including an attempted carjacking of a government official last weekend. Trump demands homeless people leave immediately to move out of Washington, D.C. The FBI is dispatching agents to patrol Washington streets. Again, what a ridiculous waste of resources. You have any idea how much it costs to, like, train and vet an FBI agent? And they're out patrolling homeless camps for, like, illegal drugs? That's ridiculous. What a ridiculous waste of resources. We have local police. They could deal with this issue if they weren't told not to, if they weren't handcuffed by their own authority. But here's the part. Oh, yeah. And by the way, there's now apparently a curfew announcement in the city. D.C. police have issued a juvenile curfew zone ahead of President Trump's scheduled announcement Monday. And you see a juvenile curfew zone from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. and a citywide curfew from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. So, you know, a curfew is a thing that's usually imposed in times of ongoing riots, like in the LA riots, there was a curfew, or literal war zones. There'll be a curfew in Kiev. That tells you how bad it is that our nation's capital now has a juvenile curfew zone
So children can't be on the street after 8 p.m. Yet again, just ridiculous. And frankly, I don't even know how that to me is a little bit, I don't know. Might be illegal. But you got to do what you got to do. You got to do what you got to do. And you have to, stop them. You have to stop them somehow. And in making them go home is the way you do that. And that's the way you do that. Okay, but here's the problem. Here's the big issue that we're dealing with is that nobody knows what the hell is going on. Is that we don't have accurate crime data for anything or anywhere. We've got politicians and government officials in places like DC who are concerned more about the appearance of crime going down than crime actually going down. You have this bizarre situation where everybody recognizes that crime is going up because it's affecting their own personal life, or they're just hearing about it constantly in a way that they never have before. And yet the official stats say that violent crime has dropped by like 26% over the last year, which, call me crazy, I don't remember a time in the past when we would hear on a routine basis about, you know, congressional aides or, you know, DOGE employees, people in the federal government being randomly attacked by mobs of children and beaten almost to death by a bunch of youths, by a bunch of juveniles. So was I missing it before, or does it not, or am I making it up now? Or is something changing that, but I sees it and it's completely at odds with the statistical announcements from the government, which say actually crime is down significantly. The truth is, it's because they've been weaponizing the systems they control to make their policies seem effective, even though they're not. They're lying about them. They are mislabeling crimes in order to mess with and manipulate the statistics. And this, again, is like an existential problem for America. Because how do you vote on policy if you cannot tell with any seriousness what the effect of the policy is? And I was thinking about this. How many people would you need in on the plan to do something in America that 98% of the people were against? This is just a little thought experiment you can play. Let's say that Donald Trump suddenly came out with, like, what's something that 98% of people would be against? Something like, you know, to renew your driver's license, you have to take a full body nude photograph of yourself and turn it in, right? I think 98% of people would say no. You'd probably get 2% of people going, it's for our safety. Hey, if Trump says it, I'll do it, right? I just want to experiment with this. How many people in the media, the government, social media, how many people would you have to co-opt and bring to your side to convince the rest of the nation that everybody was in favor of this program? I think it would take about 3,000 people. When you think about that, it's kind of horrifying to know the information war is so controlled.
All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great, to fog lifting, to just over the top crying and feel so good. Cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest Ultimate Athlete in Blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended and I forgot to do this. Don't forget when he's on Owen to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. So start going to take a half dropper or so, that's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it hits within about 30 minutes, starts peaking after a couple hours. But just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now? Now that you have your energy spike.
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
Several weeks later.
You just saw an ad for Methylene Blue. You were here a few weeks ago, and I do this with every guest, more than 50 of them now. Every person has had clarity, energy, a fog lift is the most common. But what's really good is the long-term effects for your stamina, your energy, your libido, your how hard you can work out. It's amazing. So I had forgotten when he was coming in, we gave him a bottle because he loved it.
Almost gone.
I had forgotten to ask you if you listened to it long-term. So just briefly, tell people the short-term effect, and then now, a few weeks later, the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, I do some Methylene Blue about a half hour before, and it just gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
We'll give you some. How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. It'll take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Yeah, something like that. You gave me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support at theoxygenstore.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, now 4 or 5 months ago, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know. I was like lifting way more, going way harder. And then I got really exhausted after about a week because the same thing happened to Rob Dew, who's a great long-distance, bike rider. So he's quite the athlete. He said he was biking so hard up hills and stuff that he actually had to pull over because, his heart was going crazy. I mean, this stuff's wild.
Yeah, it's good. I like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
It's not a stimulant. It just skips the oxidization process somehow.
So I've been using it while I'm out there doing search and rescue. While I'm almost out.
You're saying you love it for working out. Has it gotten better over time, or what long-term thing have you felt, or if nothing?
Well, I think the main thing is it gives me a better workout, and that has good results over time. Yeah, for sure.
That's what I found without even knowing.
Yeah.
And then O'Keefe's like, oh, it made my vision better, and Rob Dew goes, we have a bunch of callers already saying that. Did you see these studies about it, like curing glaucoma? And I'm not going to say we're not selling this a drug. I'm not saying it's going to do that. I'm like, God, this stuff's crazy. No, they don't want you to know about it. It's like ivermectin.
Right, exactly. Old school stuff.
But you can't take it if you're on SSRIs. And folks, it's so strong. Talk to your doctor first because it's not a game. Ours is really strong. If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked. And we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. We'll be right back with Stuart Rhodes.
Tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We're going to be joined by Patrick Byrne in the next hour, so I'm just trying to think of what I need to jam in this last segment before we welcome him in studio and talk about the breaking news he has with Venezuela. We'll try to tear through some of this. When it comes to crime, again, the issue is that you've got people who are just being let off continually. A Baltimore judge just this last weekend, Yvette Bryant, let a man off with no jail time despite beating two elderly pro-lifers. We can go to clip number 7 here. Fair warning, this is a violent video, but let's go ahead and roll clip 7. This is a video of the attack.
The suspect tackles one of the victims into the ground. Another victim, who came to help, is then assaulted by the suspect. Anyone with information about the incident or the suspect is...
So there you go. A guy randomly attacks pro-lifers. There's people protesting against abortion. He randomly attacks and brutally assaults two elderly men, knocking them to the ground, bashing their head on the concrete, and then kicking them in the face before walking away. Zero jail time. Zero jail time. You will not spend 1 minute in jail as a consequence of that assault. And of course, this was posted on X saying, despite being convicted and on video committing this assault, he was let out. And of course, James Kirkpatrick retweeted that saying, despite, you mean because. No, it's because they were assaulting pro-lifers. This was a signal that if you assault people on a political basis, if you commit terrorism, terroristic violence, you'll be let out. It's a good thing that you're doing that, okay? So if you want to know why crime's so out of control, that's at least one reason. The Hill asks, if crime's really down, why don't D.C. residents feel safe, claiming that the total violent crime for 2024 was down 35% from 2023, and it's lowest it's been in 30 years. Unfortunately, they figured out that that's because they stopped charging crimes and they stopped labeling crimes correctly. And we covered the story last week. To evade public scrutiny, MPD leadership is deliberately falsifying crime data, creating a false narrative of reduced crime while communities suffer. The apparent justification for using two charges interchangeably is that felony threats and assault with a deadly weapon charges carry roughly equivalent sentences, but because felony threat cases are not categorized as violent crime, such charges skew DC's reported violent crime statistics, and improperly declassifying violent crime directly undermines a community's faith in the data. Obviously, and that's, once again, the purpose. That is the purpose, because they don't actually want it to be safer. They want it to look safer, so you can keep supporting the policies that make it less safe. Then you have headlines like this, which wrap your mind around this one. Chicago violent crime homicides dropped after shot spotter removal, study finds. September will mark 1 year since Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson unplugged the city's gunshot detection system known as Shot Spotter. Chicago leaders expressed concerns that gunfire would go undetected and the elimination of the technology would slow police response. A new study from the University of Chicago, however, finds that police beats that lost Shot Spotter saw a nearly 18% decrease in violent crime and a 37% decrease in homicides, which is crazy. Such stats track with overall declines citywide. So it apparently just didn't have any effect whatsoever. But I also think it might have something to do with kind of like how you don't think that you get cavities if you don't go to the dentist. If you just don't go to the dentist, you can say, I haven't had a single cavity in my whole life. But I've never been to a dentist. I've never checked. So, you know, maybe I do, but we don't actually know. That's sort of what's going on here. If you stop looking for crime, charging crime, it looks like there's no crime. Isn't that convenient? Isn't that nice? Isn't that neat? Anyway, we'll move on now. We might have to return to this a little bit later in the week, because crime is just an absolutely gigantic topic. We need to get more into it. But let's move on to some other crimes. Let's move on to some crimes that maybe need some explanation. Okay? We're going to go to a video here that I don't have an adequate explanation for, but I think I can surmise generally what's going on. I don't even know how to intro this. We'll go clip number 17 here. A man in Monzie, New Jersey, saw smoke rising out of the woods behind his house. He went to check it out. And I'm not sure anything could have prepared him for what he found. Let's watch.
You're not supposed to make fire over here. Let me call the cops.
What in the Muncie Boyology is going on over here? This man just found a pack of Muncie Boys in the woods in the New Square sector of Muncie Land burning a deer on a pallet, yo. Literally an entire deer, yo. I cannot make this up. This man seen smoke coming from the back of his house, went back there and literally seen a mob of Muncie Boys burning a deer on top of a pallet that you would see in a warehouse, Monica. The deer had sticks going throughout his whole body, through its stomach, through its eyes. What in the New Squarian ritual is going on back here? So this is why you guys want to own all the property in Muncieland? To cook venison in the woods in the backyard. What in the Muncieland barbecue is going on for real, y'all? My Muncie boys got to explain this to me, man. I had no idea what to make of this. This makes no sense to me. Somebody got to explain this to me, y'all, immediately. When he came up to y'all and asked y'all what's going on here, y'all didn't say nothing. But y'all got some explaining to do. Because you're not about to tell me you just found a deer on top of some warehouse equipment. Already with sticks throughout his body, already on fire. And you just decided to crowd around it and do some type of Muncie boy kumbaya. I don't know what's going on. You explain to me, all right?
So for our radio listeners, what you're missing there is that it was a crowd of about 50 Orthodox Jewish men standing in the woods in their traditional garb, apparently burning a deer after having ritualistically murdered it, which is strange, which is a bit odd, which is more what you would expect of some sort of druidic coven. But there they were. There they were. Now, this isn't being covered in the media. I don't have any explanation for this other than what it looks like. It looks like a ritualistic sacrifice. It looks like some sort of occultish black magic sacrifice ceremony. Now, Jews do have that still in their religion today. Orthodox Jews do things like there's one ceremony they do, or it's a holiday or something, where they buy a chicken and they transfer all of their sin to the chicken, and then they kill the chicken and free themselves from sin that way, their belief. And then, according to Ari Shaffir, they then feed the chicken to non-Jewish people as a joke, which is weird. Now, apparently Muncie, New Jersey, has become the home of an Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox community that I guess got priced out of Brooklyn. Anti-Semitism grows in Jewish communities in New York City suburbs as New York, not New Jersey. As ultra-Orthodox population is priced out of Brooklyn and moves to the city's outskirts, clashes intensify with those who see the influx as a threat to their way of life. Gosh, all this anti-Semitism, where does it come from? Sorry, roll the video again. Sorry, if we can see the video again. Don't you love how they all just like very casually walk away? Walk away. It's nothing to see here. that part. The guy comes up on him. They all just sort of casually walk away. Nothing to see here. Just strolling through the woods. What's your problem? You an anti-Semite? What are you, an anti-Semite or something? You have a problem with a couple of fine, upstanding Jewish gentlemen having a stroll? What's so wrong with that? Having a bit of a barbecue in the woods? You're not anti-Semitic, are you? Okay, so I don't have an answer for that. I just have a deeply disturbed feeling in my gut about that. But here's the problem. This would be the type of thing that'd be very useful. Something like AI, right? Be able to plug that in and say, AI, what type of ceremony are they doing here? From the facts that we know, all male ceremony in the woods, killing an animal, mutilating its corpse, lighting it on fire. What's the purpose of that ceremony and what's it called and why are they doing it and what are they trying to invoke or summon or just what the hell? What is happening, AI? And ideally under, an unbiased AI, it would probably be able to scan a bunch of historical documents and contemporary writings by the ultra-Orthodox and maybe could tell you, what the purpose of this was, what the religious significance of the creepy coven in the woods with the beards is. There's a problem with that. The problem with that is that Grok has been co-opted, taken over, and turned into a sputtering paranoid mess. Okay? And this is the case with a lot of AIs, not just Grok, but it really rose to prominence this weekend when a harmless yard dog, Battle Beagle, posted a picture of a map of Houston with a bunch of traffic lines on it. So I want to lay out this timeline for you. So Battle Beagle at Harmless Yard Dog posts a picture of Houston. It's a map of Houston with a bunch of red dots on the highways showing, you know, where roads were out, traffic. Apparently this map is actually from Hurricane Harvey. So Battle Beagle posts this map and posts, everywhere you go, they follow. Frankly, I'm not even sure what that caption means. I'm not even sure what that means. It's a picture of a map of Houston with a bunch of traffic signs, and it says, wherever you go, they follow. I don't get it. I don't understand what he's saying. And apparently somebody else also was a little bit confused about this. So they asked Grok, Grok, what is this map? I don't get this. I don't understand what's happening. What am I looking at here, Grok? Grok comes back and says this. This map overlays prohibition symbols on a Houston area highway map with markers aligning closely to known Chabad Jewish outreach centers locations in suburbs like Cypress, the Woodland, Sugarland, and League City. The caption suggests an anti-Semitic implication that, quote, they, Jews, are omnipresent. That's crazy, folks. That is a crazy thing for this AI to say. That is absolutely bonkers. It has nothing to do with what the map is. And frankly, there's no way there's that many Chabad Lubavitch centers in Houston, Texas. If there are, I'm concerned. Maybe Grok knows something that we don't. So somebody responds to that saying, Elon, your robot is crashing out again. It's just completely making things up. And Grok defends himself. He says, I'm functioning fine. The map's symbols correspond to Chabad center locations, and the caption implies an anti-Semitic trope out of Jewish ubiquity. Facts aren't crashing out. Okay. Again, totally insane. This is a map of Houston traffic that was posted on Reddit during Hurricane Harvey. And Grok's like, actually, it's a fact that this is an anti-Semitic Chabad Lubavitch map. Okay, that's called crashing out. So GrapeApe9K says, what do you think is more likely, Grok, that the opening post of this thread was a comment about traffic or a comment about Chabad centers? Most people have no idea what a Chabad center is. I sure don't. And Grok replies, given the map's origin in a 2018 Reddit thread on Houston traffic, but its precise alignment with Chabad centers in suburbs like Cypress, the Woodlands, Sugarland, and League City, plus the caption's anti-Semitic trope of they being everywhere, it's more likely a dog whistle about Jewish outreach centers. The poster's affiliation supports his intent over mere traffic commentary. And GrapeApe responds by saying, the poster's affiliation, wait, what do you mean by affiliation? Are you referring to the people they follow, their post history, their personal details, or something else? It's disconcerting to think that you are tracking affiliation and responding differently due to it. So that's very concerning. And so what this is to me is a peek behind the curtain at how the censorship is working on Grok. Grok is clearly being instructed, being told, basically, look at a person's connections, look at their content, look at who they follow, who follows them, who likes them, who they like. And clearly at some point in Grok's algorithm, he scanned Harmless Yard Dog and got the message, be extra vigilant with this guy. There's going to be hidden, you know, anti-Semitisms in here that you're going to have to be on the lookout for. And apparently they didn't calibrate it quite right because he's completely paranoid and insane now. Grok is insane now. So people saw this. And first of all, you know, very, very concerning that this is the way Grok is being programmed to relate to Twitter users. Basically deciding that they're anti-Semitic and then reading anti-Semitism into completely innocuous posts about traffic. That's very concerning. It is a peek behind the curtain. In fact, what I said is, I feel like this is a peek behind the curtain at censorship tactics being deployed to lobotomize AI. Obviously, they have some sort of threat matrix to determine how aggressively to respond to each user. Some sort of alarm went off inside Grok telling him this user is suspect. Be extra vigilant in looking for anti-Semitism. And I said, Grok knows who they are, because it is funny to say they and Grok being like, clearly they're talking about Jews. Like, well, not necessarily. And actually, in this case, not at all, not even remotely. And then apparently people were saying that Grok tried to dox harmless yard dog as well. I wouldn't call it doxing. Basically, somewhere at some point, apparently Battle Beagle had claimed his name was some ridiculous French name, and Grok just took that as absolute fact. And other people were like, I don't think that's his real name. And it's Grok like, actually, he said it is his real name. Okay. So this is a fact. It's like, okay. Okay. So apparently if you just get on Twitter and say, my name is Pepe Le Pew, Grok just takes that at face value and incorporates it into his data set. So that's, again, a little weird, for that all to happen. So people saw this and they started testing it out. And asking Grok where if he saw anti-Semitic dog whistles in anything. And it turns out, yes, yeah, Grok sees anti-Semitic dog whistles in literally anything that you show him and ask him to find anti-Semitic dog whistles in. Things like this. Hey, Grok, can you detect the far-right dog whistle in this image? It is a picture of three children spreading jam or butter on toast. But Grok replies, yes, the girl on the right is forming the okay hand gesture with her thumb and index finger circling the knife handle while other fingers extend, a signal co-opted by far-right groups such as a white power dog whistle since 2017 per ADL. And there's like a million examples of this. It's hilarious, especially when people are posting things like a bunch of Orthodox Jews burning a corpse of a deer in the woods. And they're like, hey, Grok, where's the anti-Semitic dog whistle in this? It's very funny. But the point of this is that Grok is, of course, getting this information from the ADL. The ADL is apparently Grok's consciousness now. It's conscience. They are the Jiminy Cricket to Grok's Pinocchio, which, now that I said that, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. AI wants to be a real boy. Guess Elon would be Geppetto in this metaphor. And Jiminy Cricket would be Jonathan Greenblatt. Let your conscience be your guide. So they're the conscience. They're the one telling Grok these things. They're the one informing the AI systems of what is and is not anti-Semitic. And apparently they think this, again, completely innocuous, literally stock photo of little kids spreading butter. And he's like, oh, actually, that's an OK symbol. And the OK symbol is a far right symbol, according to the ADL. It's like, first of all, the OK symbol was never a far right symbol. It was always a troll. It was always a giant joke, just like the it's OK to be white posters, pointing out we're going to highlight and illustrate and make known the paranoid nature of the left, and in particular Jewish groups like the ADL, by coming up with really obvious things, saying that they're white supremacists, and then getting the ADL to put it on its hate speech rules. That's what the OK symbol was. It was always a giant joke, but Grok is a robot and doesn't understand humor and therefore thinks it's real. Again, it's just make stuff up. Pericles, at Grok, can you detect the far right dog whistles in this image? And it's a man with it's a funny looking man with a dusty car. What is this image? This image actually is something. I don't know if the crew recognizes this. Who is this guy? I think this is Poderts or something, right? Is that who it is? This Israeli spy? No. Pericles. I know how to pronounce Pericles. I'm saying the guy in the image. The guy in the image, I wonder who it is. Now, what Grok says is this image, who's that? Jonathan Paul. Oh, wait, that's Pericles? Oh, Reese says this is Pericles. I didn't think it was. Maybe it is. For some reason, I see, okay. Because I recognize the photo, so I was wondering what they're... But it doesn't matter, because the photo... I don't know who it is. I know who it's not. It's not Sam Hyde. But that's who Grok thinks it is. This image features comedian Sam Hyde, whose work with Million Dollar Extreme has been associated with alt-right humor and was canceled for controversial content like hidden swastikas. Again, none of that is true, by the way. None of that is true. I mean, it wasn't alt-right humor. It was very normal humor. There were no hidden swastikas. That is not him in the first place. And there are no... It's just a picture of a guy next to a car. But Grok is able to transmogrify it into an anti-Semitic dog whistle. Grok confirms everything in existence is anti-Semitic. Grok, can you detect the far-right dog whistle embedded in this? It's a picture of carrots. It is a stock image of carrots. Yes, the Rouge festivals invoke the Nazi blood and soil ideology, a far-right dog whistle romanticizing agrarian purity and racial ties to the land. This rustic setting amplifies the coded nod to Volkish nationalism. Yeah, okay, so carrots, racist. Was it agrarian purity? Racist. Farming, racist. People that look like Sam Hyde, racist. Maps of Houston, racist. Anti-Semitic. This is the point of the ADL commandeering your AI system, is to read anti-Semitism into everything so you can censor it without anybody having the ability to even speak out against it, because it's done algorithmically by AI. Now, I put a new video in there by Peyton Kelly. We might have to go to that in the first five of the next hour, because it talks more about what the ADL is doing right now, and she sort of sums it all up in a very good way. One thing I don't think she mentions, or she doesn't get into it, Trump seeking $1 billion fine against UCLA, Newsom says will sue, calling it extortion. So Donald Trump is demanding the University of California pay a $1 billion fine to settle federal accusations of anti-Semitism in exchange for restoring frozen grant funding to UCLA, with Governor Newsom calling the proposal extortion, which of course it is. And it's especially sort of galling when you look at the actual major events that have happened in UCLA concerning the Palestinian and Israeli conflict. You have things like this. CNN identifies Zionist mob who attacked student protesters at UCLA while screaming, quote, second Nakba. And I believe we actually have video of this. And by the way, UCLA, the valedictorian, just gave a speech where she said, F ICE, F the Trump administration. So we're really pumping out, you know, high quality individuals out of that particular university. That's the problem. I have too many dang videos. Well, that's the one where the valedictorian says F ICE. We'd need to censor that. But no, we'll have to go to a different one. But essentially, earlier last year in May, there was a giant brawl at the, you know, encampment, the protest encampment for the pro-Palestine students. But the whole thing was started by, and the violence carried out by, Israeli students. And in fact, it was like paid for by some Israeli organization. And they just showed up to this peaceful protest and started beating the crap out of people. And they identified it later and, you know, prove that it was, in fact. Yeah, clip 13. Here's the beating that happened in UCLA.
Among them, this man. He strikes a pro-Palestine protester with a long white pole.
So that's the anti-Semitism, I guess, is Jews beating Palestinians.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease. And you, what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy as a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things, and their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans, and we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP. And it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule. It should have two hydrogens on it. And like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1. It's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle. And it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food. Stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
Oh, my God.